Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. I will ask you for a mic check, first of all. Can you hear me? Yes. Thank you, Lynn. It was really sweet. Good. Thanks, Regina. It was really sweet to hear the things that you had to say this morning, Lynn. And yes, it's funny that physical proximity sometimes seems to make a difference. And good morning, Lauren. When we were in Pueblo, I did feel closer to Lynn. But I'm honored to serve on the board of trustees, member board of trustees with Lynn, and I get to see Lynn all the time there. I was also noticing this morning that how comfortable Lynn is on the microphone, and it made me think, gee whiz, I need to spend a lot more time in the sanctuary so that I too can be that comfortable on the microphone. Because I tell you, I still get butterflies when I thanks, Lynn. When I contemplate speaking to all of you guys on Sunday morning, I still get those butterflies. So please bear with me. Mic time makes life's decision easier. Thanks, Doug. Doug's a sweetheart. Okay, guys, so here we go. Welcome to the Awakening Together Sanctuary. We are thrilled to have you here for this morning's gathering. As Lynn said, my message this morning is on becoming the happy learner. And my reader this morning will be my husband, Tom Conway. Tom is also on the member board of trustees. So what we normally do here is, while we're an online church, we do have a regular program for our services. And the first part of the program is an opportunity to turn and greet your neighbor as you would do in a regular church service, in a physical church. So what we'll do is we'll have Lynn play a song for us so that we can just take a few minutes to extend our welcome to one another, and maybe you want to say where you're from, how things are going for you, but type whatever you'd like in the board and greet your neighbor here in church. Okay, I'm going to let go of the mic so Lynn can play us a song while we do that.
Come to gentler pathways and smoother roads. There is no thought of turning back and no real resistance to the truth. A little wavering, a little hesitance, but we are our games. We sing the song of thanks today. We thank our Father for His gifts today, and we receive His thanks a thousand more. We thank our Father for His gifts today, and we receive His thanks a thousand. Father has not left us to ourselves, nor let us wander in the dark alone. His love is shining on us forever without change. We lift our hearts above despair and raise our thankful eyes. We sing the song of thanks today. We thank our Father for His gifts today. We receive His thanks a thousand more. We thank our Father for His gifts today. We receive His thanks a thousand more. His voice does not go soundless. We hear His word today, and we become His messengers. Let His word echo round the world, round the world, round the
world. Thank you, Lynn. That was beautiful music. Absolutely beautiful. And it's just fun to see all you guys and where you're from and what the weather's like where you're from. It's just really fun to do that. So thank you. I'll begin by reading our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And Barb has posted a link to our purpose and values page. In addition to reading our statement of purpose, generally, the minister at this point will read one of our core values. We have five core values. Thank you, Barb, for posting that. We have five core values, and I have chosen one. I know Dove says that he's always led to the same value when he, of course, he says they're all the same, but when he leads a service, he says he's led to the same one. I don't know if I've picked the same one this morning, but the one that seems most fitting to my discussion of becoming a happy learner is core value number 3. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. Absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Okay. And at this point, we'll look at some announcements. And let me find my notes here. The first of those is I was looking at my little sheet here that tells me where I'm supposed to be in the service. And I know the last time that I did this, we talked about volunteer opportunities. And I do want to mention that we do have specific volunteer opportunities and that you can go to our website to find out what those volunteer opportunities are. In particular, I will tell you that I lead a subcommittee called the Benevolence Subcommittee, and we sure could use some members on that committee. We have only had one request for benevolence, but we need to be ready to meet that request. Should another request for benevolence come in, I would love to have some subcommittee members for that. There are also other subcommittees that could use your help. So if you want to get more involved, please join one of those subcommittees. And I see that Barb has put up a link to that again. Thank you, Barb. Other announcements. The Baja Mexico retreat. The retreat is from March the 1st through the 7th with Regina Dawn Akers, Jennifer Hadley, David Hoffmeister, Maria Philippe, Gary Renard, and John Monday. The retreat is at a beautiful all-inclusive resort in Baja, Mexico for the price of $1,697. You can join in that retreat again from March the 1st through the 7th. That price includes everything, and it's really perfect for people who want to spend time with their favorite teachers in a beautiful, relaxing atmosphere. Yes, thanks, Barb. Barb has also posted the link to that retreat on our website. Other announcements. We have more classes starting in January. We have True Meditation and Introduction to NTI classes that begin in January. The True Meditation class will be taught by me. That is on Tuesday evenings between 7:30 and 9:30 Eastern Time. The class is 3 weeks long. It begins on January 6th. The cost of the class is $60. Homework begins 1 week prior to the first class, so registration closes on December the 30th. The textbook that we'll be using is True Meditation by Adyashanti. And again, given that that we're getting ready to get started on this and homework is beginning, now is the time, folks. I would love to, there's a few more spots in that class, and I would love to have you join that class. So please plan on doing that. That's True Meditation, Tuesday evening, 7:30 to 9:30 Eastern Time. It's a 3 week class. Please join us. Registration closes on December the 30th. The other class that we have beginning is Introduction to NTI, and that is on Wednesday evenings from 7 to 9, and this says Pacific Time, 7 to 9 Pacific Time. I assume that that's correct. This class is taught by Regina Dawn Akers, and it's 6 weeks long. And Barb tells me there's no information on the NTI class on the website. But again, that class is 6 weeks long, begins on January the 7th. The class is taught by Regina Dawn Akers. The cost is $120. Again, homework begins 1 week prior to the first class. The textbook needed is either The Keys to NTI or The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, the NTI book itself. Both of those can be ordered from Regina's online bookstore. Registration for that class closes on December the 31st. And again, Barb says there's no information on that class on the website. I don't know if that's a problem with registration, but I know Regina is in the room. Regina, is there anything special that we need to know here so that people can sign up for that class? Okay. I'll let go of the mic.
Hi, sorry, I tried to put the link in the room, but because I didn't log in this morning as admin, I couldn't. But yeah, Barb just typed the link. If you go to the first link, which is Awakening Together, and then classes, and then classes that start in January, that's where you'll find information both for True Meditation and for Introduction to NTI in order to register. But also, as Barb has put, if you look at the other link under classes, which is about all of the MPP courses, there you'll find the links to the objectives and that type of information for each class. So yeah, I think it is all there. Maybe I can go back and make it a little more efficient. Okay, yeah. But I think all the information is there, but you use the link that says classes starting in January. That's the link you use in order to register for either class. And again, as Jacqueline's pointing out, registration for both classes closes this week. Thanks.
Thanks, Regina. Really nice to hear your voice. Good morning. All right. And I do not have any other announcements. Yeah, I'm focused on the True Meditation class as well, Barb, given that's the one that I'll be teaching. Actually, it's a really good class. I, of course, have taken the class, and I'm excited to get to take it again as I facilitate that class this time around. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Okay, so no more announcements, and at this point we'll have our opening song, and I know that Lynn has picked out something lovely for us. So, Lynn, I'll let go of the mic. Thank you.
Certain you're
Beautiful. Thank you, Lynn. At this point, we will have our invocation. And I want to express my gratitude for the opportunity to teach what I would learn. This opportunity, I'm so grateful for this opportunity to reflect on my experience in order that I can share my experience with others. I would ask that I convey the message that I intend to convey, that Holy Spirit would have me convey, that I convey that message in a way that others might hear it, that helps us all to live in peace and to live in happiness. And finally, I would ask that as I share this morning, that I am able to remember that, in fact, I'm only a conduit, that I really exercise the opportunity to get out of the way so that the miracle of joining can happen here today. I'm so grateful, and I know that in that gratitude is the presence of God. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. Amen. Right, and now we will have our inspirational reading, and our reading this morning will be given by my husband, Tom Conway, and he will be reading The Happy Learner, and he'll tell you where that is. He's plugging in his mic, so here we go. I don't think it's plugged in. Yeah.
Okay, I do ask for a little assistance. Am I being heard? All right. Thank you, Lynn. And this is from The Course in Miracles. The original edition, and I see it's chapter 7. I don't know. On page 265, and I'll begin. The Holy Spirit needs a happy learner in whom his mission can be happily accomplished. You, who are steadfastly devoted to misery, must first recognize that you are miserable and not happy. The Holy Spirit cannot teach without this contrast, for you believe that misery is happiness. This has so confused you that you have undertaken to learn to do what you can never do, believing that unless you learn it, you will not be happy. You do not realize that the foundation on which this most peculiar learning goal depends means absolutely nothing. It does make sense to you. Have faith in nothing, and you will find the treasure that you sought. Yet you will add another burden to your mind, already burdened, or you would not have sought another. You will believe that nothing is of value and will value it. A little piece of glass, a speck of dust, a body, or a war are one to you. For if you value one thing made of nothing, you have believed that nothing can be precious and that you can learn how to make the untrue true. The Holy Spirit, seeing where you are, but knowing you are elsewhere, begins his lesson in simplicity with the fundamental teaching that truth is true. This is the hardest lesson you will ever learn, and in the end, the only one. Simplicity is very difficult for twisted minds. Consider all the distortions you have made of nothing, all the strange forms and feelings and actions and reactions that you have woven out of it. Nothing is so alien to you as the simple truth, and nothing are you less inclined to listen to. The contrast between what is true and what is not is perfectly apparent, yet you do not see it. The simple and the obvious are not apparent to those who would make palaces and royal robes of nothing, believing they are kings with golden crowns because of them. All this the Holy Spirit sees and teaches simply that all this is not true. To these unhappy learners, who would teach themselves nothing and delude themselves into believing that it is not nothing, the Holy Spirit says with steadfast quietness, "The truth is true. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is real. And everything beside it is not there. Let me make the one distinction for you, which you cannot make but need to learn. Your faith in nothing is deceiving you. Offer your faith to me, and I will place it gently in the holy place where it belongs. You will find no deception there, but only the simple truth. And you will love it because you will understand it. Like you, the Holy Spirit did not make truth. Like God, he knows it to be true. He brings the light of truth into the darkness and lets it shine on you. And as it shines, your brothers see it. And realizing that this light is not what you have made, they see in you more than you see. They will be happy learners of the lesson which this light brings to them, because it teaches them release from nothing and from all the works of nothing. The heavy chains which seem to bind them unto despair, they do not see as nothing until you bring the light to them. And then they see the chains have disappeared, and so they must have been nothing. And you will see it with them. Because you taught them gladness and release, they will become your teachers in release and gladness. When you teach anyone that truth is true, you learn it with him. And so you learn that what seemed hardest was the easiest. Learn to be happy learners. You will never learn how to make nothing everything. Yet see that this has been your goal, and recognize how foolish it has been. Be glad it is undone, for when you look at it in simple honesty, it is undone. We said before, be not content with nothing, for you have believed that nothing could content you. It is not so. If you would be a happy learner, you must give everything that you have learned over to the Holy Spirit to be unlearned for you. And then begin to learn the joyous lessons that come quickly on the firm foundation that truth is true. For what is builded there is true, and built on truth. The universe of learning will open up before you in all its gracious simplicity. With truth before you, you will not look back. The happy learner meets the conditions of learning here, as he also meets the conditions of knowledge in the kingdom. All this lies in the Holy Spirit's plan to free you from the past and open up the way to freedom for you. for truth is true. What else could ever be or ever was? This simple lesson holds the key to the dark door which you believe is locked forever. You made this door of nothing, and behind it is nothing. The key is only the light which shines away the shapes and forms and fears of nothing. Accept this key to freedom from the hands of Christ, who gives it to you, that you may join him in the holy task of bringing light to darkness. For like your brothers, you do not realize the light has come and freed you from the sleep of darkness. Behold your brothers in their freedom and learn of them how to be free of darkness. The light in you will waken them, and they will not leave you asleep. The vision of Christ is given the very instant that it is perceived. Where everything is clear, it is all holy. The quietness of its simplicity is so compelling that you will realize it is impossible to deny the simple truth. For there is nothing else. God is everywhere, and his Son is in him with everything. Can he sing the dirge of sorrow when this is true?
Thank you, Tom. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Okay. Well, you know, when we picked the dates that we would do our talks, I knew my date was coming up in a couple of weeks. Seemed like I had a lot going on with my recent move, but I was I just waited to hear what it was that I should speak about, and it just seems like when I'm given the opportunity to speak that a topic does come to me, and it's inspired by my recent experience. So I waited and I heard that I was to speak on becoming the happy learner. And the reason that I felt that I was led to speak about becoming a happy learner was because that I really felt that this is where I was finding myself lately. I was really in the position of being open to the lessons that needed to be learned by me, to be grateful when I saw them and to quickly pick up on those things and move on from there. So again, I was very pleased to be inspired to speak on this issue. As also seems to occur whenever I'm given a topic to speak on, I'm also immediately given the opportunity to get a more in-depth appreciation of that topic, and that has certainly been the case with becoming the happy learner. So what I'm trying to say is it seems to me that I was the happy learner right up until the time when it came to me I should talk about being a happy learner, and then I didn't seem very happy anymore. So, and you can certainly ask my husband and he will tell you for the past couple of weeks I have not been very happy. But, you know, it's with a purpose. So I'm just, and again, truly being the happy learner is being happy to learn what you need to learn. And I do find myself there today, and I'm thrilled to be where I am in this learning process. So what seemed for me, yeah, you go scared by my resolve. So what seemed to me at first to be an easy topic, in fact, became more meaty as I lived it, as I contemplated it in preparation for this talk. And when I made notes about this, I was going to say it became more complex, but frankly, oh, my screen, hang on, okay. But frankly, what I have learned is that the truth is never complex. You know, that it became more meaty, not more complex. The truth is always very, very simple. And I think that's what we just heard in Tom's reading of The Happy Learner. And what I'm really finding is that transforming this seeming complexity into simplicity is what the happy learner learns to do. So let's talk about my experience with becoming the happy learner. In my experience, becoming the happy learner it's come in stages. And of course, the first stage, you know, my initial encounter with this idea, with this passage that Tom just read, was, yeah, right, that'll be the day when I'll be the happy learner, when I'll be happy to have somebody tell me, somebody including the course, tell me I'm getting this wrong, I'm doing this wrong, I'm not interested in being corrected, I'll never be the happy learner. You know, you can might drag me kicking and screaming into this thing, but I am not going to be the happy learner. I just couldn't even conceive of being a happy learner. However, after hard work and hard lessons, I came to stage two of this idea, and in stage two, I began to have what you might call begrudging acquiescence to being the happy learner. Okay. I see where you're right? Where I could change some things, where I could be more loving, where I could, see that I'm my own worst enemy. Okay. I'll do what I need to do in order to change, in order to become the happy learner. The third stage of becoming the happy learner is where I seem to find myself today. And again, I feel that I am truly a happy learner. And as I thought about, well, why is that? Why have I moved from stage one, not on your life, to, you know, this begrudging acquiescence to this third stage? Well, how did I move from one place to the other? And as I looked at this topic, I realized that it's because I've really moved to a result-oriented perspective. I have learned to, as the Course says, to separate the valuable from the valueless. I have learned that happiness is all that I want. So what I learned was, you know, that I don't have to give up things or beliefs or what I think that I desire in order to, okay, then become a happy learner. What the task is instead, as the reading that Tom just read and that I'm able to hear at this stage, what I learned instead was I needed to learn what actually makes me happy. What I have learned is that the peace of God is the only thing that makes me happy. So let me give you an example. So as many of you know, Tom and I have just bought the condominium that needs to be completely remodeled. Tom and I are, in fact, we've got the floors. We had to uncover the floors. It had some weird concrete stuff on it. But at any rate, we got down to the subflooring. And so Tom and I are discussing what kind of floor we should put in the condo. Do we want hardwood flooring? Do we want carpeting? I want hardwood flooring. I like hardwood flooring. I think it's an elegant look. I've seen other condos here that have this lovely hardwood flooring. My sister, Connie, who I think has impeccable taste, goes, oh, hardwood flooring, that's the way to go. Tom's like, I want carpeting. So there was a moment here when Tom and I are discussing this issue that I think, well, I want hardwood flooring. And then that happy learner part of me reminds me that what is valuable is not hardwood flooring. What's really valuable to me is the peace of God. I really don't give two hoots about hardwood flooring. You know, what's valuable is not, I should also mention I have a friend who could get us hardwood flooring really cheap. So I've got all these arguments lined up, right? We can get it cheap. It's beautiful. Everybody loves it. It means I have good taste, right? But those things aren't important to me. Yeah. Would I give up the peace of God for a floor? Hell no. Right? What is valuable in this situation? What's valuable in this situation is the peace of God. That's experiencing the peace of God is the only thing that has any value in this situation. So if Tom wants carpet, let's get carpet. Tom gets his carpet and I get peace of mind. I get the peace of God. Right? But you know what usually happens, and this is, and yes, and what usually happens, and this is just, this is the miracle. The miracle is once I make that choice, it doesn't matter what comes after. It really doesn't matter what comes after. And what usually happens is that once I choose the peace of God, once I remember that that's what I want above everything else, everybody around me remembers that that's what they want as well. And so then we may get carpet, we may get hardwood. It just, what we do is we get out of the way. When everybody in the situation chooses the peace of God, and again, that's been my experience. That's been my experience, at least on the path, certainly with my husband, who's also on this journey, on this path to peace with me. What we experience is, later we look down and we see what's under our feet, whether we have carpeting or hardwood, and the floor becomes what the floor wants to become. Meanwhile, we look down at that from a place of peace. We watch it unfold together. And, you know, that's true of this hardwood floor example seems like a mundane example, but that's, you know, we live our life in moment to moment, choosing the peace of God, choosing that is more important than anything else. The floor becomes what the floor wants to become. That's right. And we just watch it unfold. So, okay. So how do you move from stage one, not in this lifetime, to stage three where I'm all in? And as I thought about that, I thought, well, okay, there are some prerequisites, right? Because you don't get there overnight. There are some things that occur along the way. And as I thought about what are the prerequisites, you know, I looked again at the passages in ACIM, A Course in Miracles, around this concept, this topic of the happy learner. I looked at the passages before, the passages after. First of all, according to A Course in Miracles, as we just heard, you must first acknowledge that your way, or my way, right? My conception of happiness has made me miserable. The things that I value because I believe that they'll bring me happiness. Right? Having enough money, having the respect of my peers, having a comfortable home, all of these things I believe will bring me happiness. And the truth is, pursuing those goals has never, never brought me happiness. Pursuing those goals actually brings me misery. If I make those my goals, that makes me miserable. So, in my hardwood floor example, being right, first of all, oh, I'm right because we can get this cheap and it looks good and da 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 da. So I might think that being right will bring me happiness. I might think that having more money will bring me happiness. I might think that having a nice home, having good taste will bring me happiness. None of that will bring me happiness. In order to have happiness, I have to understand that those things that I would make goals, would bring me misery. A Course in Miracles is so simple. The truth is so simple. In order to have happiness, I must choose happiness. That's it. It's that simple. I don't need a middleman, right? Now, what we've been conditioned to believe that choosing those lower order things will bring us happiness. The core, as in Tom's reading of the Happy Learner just now, those things are nothing. In choosing nothing, we're left with nothing. We're not left with happiness. Thus, the choice for happiness is a direct one. We don't need a middleman. Okay? We don't need these middle things in order to make us happy. Okay, so what else has happened? So what else has helped me get to a place where I can truly be the happy learner? The second thing is I'm going to qualify it because I'm not perfect at this, but the second thing is a relatively unwavering belief in my invulnerability. My belief in my invulnerability allows me to let loose my need to control. If I know that things will turn out all right in the end, I can give up what I think I need to do or to have to be in control and let things unfold, okay? And not have these other things as a goal. I can give up the control that I think I need. In preparing for this talk and thinking about this concept, I remember that one of my favorite lines from any movie ever is a line from the movie Shakespeare in Love. And over in this movie, characters will say that things will turn out well in the end. And when it's asked of the character, well, how will that happen? How will that occur? The answer is, it's a mystery. So when I have a belief in my own invulnerability and I have the outlook that, okay, so how is this going to turn out so that all things turn out well? When I have the outlook, I don't know. It's a mystery. But I know that all things will turn out in the end. I find my lessons in the most interesting places. I discover things about the truth of who I am. I discover things that are beyond my limited conception of myself, beyond those things that I think I need in order to be okay. So let me give you an example, a recent example of this. As a retired judge, my retirement plan is supposed to pay for a portion of my health insurance. Well, when we moved here locally, close to where I were retired, I found out they were no longer going to reimburse me. So I thought, well, gee, based on my limited budget, I really need them to reimburse me. So I went on this campaign to win these benefits back. I wrote this really long brief. I spent days writing this brief. And both Tom and my sister suggested that in order to convince the retirement plan committee that I should be paid these benefits, that I really needed to personalize the issue and go appear in front of the committee, present the arguments that I'd made in my brief, present this to the committee. Well, frankly, you know, that really scared me. I hadn't argued in a long, long time in front of anybody, and these are all very, you know, prestigious, important people, and I was scared to do it. But I really felt like that this was the guidance, that I go and make this argument to the committee. And what allowed me to do this in spite of my fears, what allowed me to argue in front of the committee was that I recognized that it didn't matter whether or not I won the argument. What mattered was that I followed that which would bring me peace of mind. I followed my guidance. You know, I knew that my guidance would... I think I just locked up, folks. Give me just a second, see if I can get unlocked here. Okay, can you guys still hear me? Okay, very good, thanks. I realized that following my guidance would bring me peace of mind, and not following my fear. And my many, many times in the past, I have followed the fear. I've done what my fear dictated and not what my guidance dictated. But this belief in my invulnerability is what allowed me. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. Just do what you're guided to do. So I went down there. I made the argument. I won the argument. As it turns out, it didn't work out. The committee wanted to help me, but frankly the statute prevents them from helping me. But that wasn't the point. The joy in this situation was the victory in the situation. The joy in the situation was watching myself just step through those fears. I just cannot describe to you what a beautiful experience it was in stretching beyond this conception of somebody who was too afraid to go down there and do that, you know, to go to the state capitol and argue in front of these people. But I did that, and it just to feel myself stretch beyond the limitations that I had imposed on myself was a beautiful thing. It was really a beautiful thing. And I could only do that. I could only have done that by understanding that, sorry, I glanced at the board and got sidetracked, by understanding that I am invulnerable. And it just doesn't matter, how things turned out. So, you know, so the question now is, well, okay, how will we pay for insurance? I don't know. It's a mystery. And that's okay. It's a mystery. Okay, so third prerequisite to becoming a happy learner. This is so important. It's understanding that my will and the will of God are one and the same. So when I first got this concept, and this is not a new concept to ACIMers, right? My will and the will of God are one and the same. When I first read this concept, I thought, well, wait a minute. That means that either my will's got to change or God's got to change, because I know that what I think I want and what God thinks I want are not the same thing. But the truth is, yes, they are the same thing. That's the realization that occurred to me. That's the change in perspective that led me on this path of becoming a happy learner. God's will for me is perfect happiness, and guess what? So is mine. Again, the change in perspective is the surrender of the idea that I could have needs, wants, desires, or any interests that are separate from the needs and interests of other people. And again, in order to do that, I have to believe in my own invulnerability. Now, A Course in Miracles calls this guiltlessness. And I think it's the section that follows the Happy Learner section, it's called The Decision for Guiltlessness. And as I was, you know, as I was coming up with this topic and I presented it to my family and, you know, we talked about what I would want to include in today's talk, I found that I'd left that idea out, the concept of guiltlessness. And yet, A Course in Miracles says, and I quote, "The happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. this is so essential to learning that it should never be forgotten. And I'd left it out. And the reason, one of the reasons that it's so essential to learning that it could never, should never be forgotten is that if you feel guilty when you discover your obstacles to peace, if you feel guilty when you see that you're your own worst enemy, if you feel guilty when you discover the blocks to love's awareness, you'd lose all incentive for finding those blocks, right? What you want to do instead is to go, oh, thank God, I saw where I was blocking my own peace. I was blocking my own happiness. So when you find those things that you're doing that prevent you from experiencing the peace of God, then you need to be happy about it. You can't feel guilty about it. So that's one part of this idea of guiltlessness. But this thing I talked about, it got really tricky for me the past couple of weeks. Got meatier for me the past couple of weeks with this other side of the decision for guiltlessness. And this goes back to my understanding of invulnerability. If I'm invulnerable, if all is well all the time, then nobody else is guilty either. If I want to play the victim, if I want to convey to someone else that they're responsible for my suffering, that perpetuates the idea, and not only the idea, but my experience. That perpetuates my experience of suffering. If I want to make somebody else guilty for the way I feel, I will suffer. And I have had this experience lately. I have a really good friend who can't seem to follow through on his promises. And this seems to have been giving me difficulty in the past couple of weeks. He's well-intentioned, but he's a little ADD, so he can't seem to keep his end of the bargain. And if I'm able to just like laugh that off and let him be who he is and be happy with what are seemingly these haphazard outcomes, I'm happy. Now, if I forget to laugh, if I think that I should make him aware of his shortcomings, then I suffer. I'm unhappy. And it is that simple. And with the holidays, and being with family a lot this time of year, I notice the same thing. If I let them be who they are, if I don't hold them to these expectations of who I need them to be in order for me to be happy, I'm happy. And, you know, as I was writing some notes about this last night, I got really tickled, when I wrote down this sentence. If I do not make them responsible for my suffering, I do not suffer. It's the damnedest thing. If I do not make them responsible for my suffering, I do not suffer. So, you know, we really do. We teach what we would learn. I'm happy. I've become the happy learner because I've chosen to be happy. It's really that simple. Some days it seems more complicated, but frankly, it's not. I'm happy because I've chosen to be happy. And I tell you folks, I'm sure there's a stage four to becoming the happy learner. I'm not sure what it is. When I figure that out, I'll get back to you guys, but I feel like I'm on the trail. I'm certainly getting it. And I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share that with you guys here today. I'm looking for my notes, frankly, to see where we are in the service. Hang on and let me... I can't find my notes. See where we are, I think, at this point. Thank you. Let's see. Here we are. Thanks, Tom. Okay. So Lynn is going to play us another song at this point for contemplation of the message. And after that, we'll have sharing. So I'm going to let go of the mic. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Was he true? It really isn't there at all. Oh, it's nothing. Hiding who you are. Forever and together we will love ways be.
Beautiful. Thank you, Lynn. Great song. Barb has posted our link for donations. An organization such as ours operates solely on donations. So we need your help in doing the things that we do. And we operate here 24/7. We may have a few hours, but there's no one on the mic. But you're in tax, Lynn tells us. Yes, it's a very good time to make your donations. So please, please consider doing that. And again, Barb has posted that link for you. Okay, so at this point, we will we'll have open sharing. So I'd love to hear your thoughts about becoming the happy learner. And I will be happy to give up the mic here. So somebody, tell me what you're thinking. Okay, Lynn.
Yeah, I love that happy learner because really, Why begrudge yourself? And people really, and I don't know about other people. I can only say about myself. I know the times that I thought that, oh man, this is so much hard work. I really have to do a lot of stuff. You know, God expects so much out of me. you know, it's just so hard. It's so hard to be thinking about this all day, every day. And, you know, I know I just have to be really conscious with my thinking and what thoughts I'm listening to and watching, you know, the process. And, you know, it just seemed like so much work. But really, the happy learner is all about, once I decide that no matter what happens, everything, past, present, and to come, is gently planned by one whose only purpose is my good, guess what? Now every block that I see becomes a joyful thing. Wow, I didn't know I was thinking that. I didn't know that was why I felt this way. Really, it's just so wonderful. And then all along the path, you get taught more and more and more. And just recently, in the last couple of months, I was guided to and prompted to just dive headlong into this nonviolent communication, and was from the first moment I knew about it, you know, I heard that there was a class that was going to be up in Denver that was 8 months intensive work and lots of money. And I said, oh, no, no. And Spirit said, yes, yes, yes. And I kept saying no. And I said, no, 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 till the very moment I got into the car of the people who were driving me up there. Because I kept thinking, I can get out of this. I can get out of this. And and Spirit just kept telling me, you know, it's okay. Don't worry. I was afraid. And I didn't want to, ego just did not want to be exposed like that. And when I really saw what was happening, I just had to laugh and laugh. And that's being the happy learner. You know, when you're dragging your heels and kicking and screaming and you know, the whole time your folks are actually taking you to Disneyland, you thought you were going to the dentist and now you're going to Disney World. Anyway, that's what I have to say about the happy learner. Anyway, here's the mic back, Jacqueline.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn. That's great. Thought you were going to the dentist, and you were instead going to Disneyland. Hey, Tom, can you close that door, hon? Thank you. Okay, so, yeah, listen, guys, it's been my pleasure to teach this morning. It's just beautiful. It just takes me to such a beautiful place. But I would love to, we've got a few minutes left here, I think. To share. Yeah, thanks, Regina. That's sweet. And Regina's going to talk. So here we go.
Regina's going to talk. That's funny. I just wanted to say that I really appreciated your style. I think last time you led a gathering, Jacqueline, I was traveling, so I was unable to listen live. This was my first time to be able to sit and listen live, and I appreciated your style very much. I found you, at least for me, you know, everybody's different, but I found you very easy to listen to, and the reason for that was because you did two things. One, you told stories, you know, which are always lovely to hear, personal stories, you know, direct experience. And also, you put things in a very, very nice linear perspective. I mean, you should see my notes. I have stage one, no way, I don't want to be told I'm wrong. Stage two, begrudging acquiescence. And then stage three, became the happy learner because I became result-oriented. I realized that happiness is all that I want, you know, and I just have these lovely notes, you know, and then the three things that I, you know, you were talking about you, but it's true for all of us, so I'll say I. The three things that I need in order to be the happy learner. Number one, I need to want happiness. Number two, belief in my invulnerability, which you even defined for us. That means all is well all the time. Accepting that belief. Accepting that is true. And then number three, understanding that my will and God's will are the same. You know, we both want my happiness. It was just so simply laid out. And then with the stories, I just thought it was very clear, very simple. And I just wanted to say thank you. In case you didn't know, that at least for me, you're a very good speaker. I wanted to let you know that. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Regina. Very sweet of you to say. Thank you so much, really. And thank you for providing us all the the opportunity to share in the way that we do in this room. Thank you. And here is Lynn.
I also wanted to tell you, Jacqueline, yes, this was lovely, and I loved hearing Tom. And one thing that I was thinking Regina just reminded me of was that you were talking about what is it that I really want. And one thing that I've really been impressed with lately from Spirit is that anytime that I'm finding that I'm having any kind of a disagreement with a brother, which does happen on occasion, and to the point where I'm really looking at that brother and thinking that they're wrong and they need to be corrected, and that it's very important that we do something because, you know, this person is running amok or causing problems, you know, other people are unhappy about what's happening. And what I'm finding is that just asking Spirit, would I accuse myself of this? When I accuse my brother of being other, then what's happening is that I'm distancing myself from my own salvation. And so that's a happy learning that I've had, because I have been in the past very quick to judge and afraid to open up to the possibility that my brother could be right. And in fact, what the Holy Spirit tells me is that he is right, because he is the Son of God. And so it's almost, you know, I know Regina mentioned something about me talking about murder all the time, but really, what's not love is murder. And if I don't look at my brother and look to see that he's the Christ, then I am not being happy. I can't be happy. I can only be angry, upset, murderous, and fearful. And so that too, I thought about that when you were talking about just the choices that we make. So thank you, Jacqueline, and here's the mic back.
I'll just pick up the mic. I know we're only closing out at this time for this morning session. I just want to say thank you so much, Jacqueline and Tom. That was a beautiful reading, Tom. So clear. And I was here the last time that you spoke here. And I remember then it was a very clear sharing. And when Regina just mentioned what she said, I realized, of course, you are a lawyer and you build your case so well. You certainly nailed a very, very tough topic, becoming a happy learner. You built the case so beautifully. You really nailed it. It's impossible to have missed the message. Do you want the peace of mind, the peace of God, or do you want to be right about what kind of flooring you're going to have? And that's pretty much what goes on in the world today. It kind of also reminds me of Helen Schuckman's stories about her husband and putting his dirty socks in the bread box, and the bread box was running her, and the woman upstairs who had high heels, and the high heels was running her. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. Thank you so much, Tom. Wonderful, wonderful sharing.
Well, it's just great to be with you guys. Thank you. Thank you again, everybody, for the opportunity that you provide. Yes, I'm very in love with all of you. And We will conclude our service by Lynn is going to play us another lovely song. Again, my gratitude. Thank you.
Go away.